have you seen, it sounds like the answer will be yes, but perhaps you could give us a bit more information on, have you seen an increase in investment in technology? I think you're going to say absolutely, after the comments you've already made.
Yes, we definitely have. And so just touching on what Genevieve said, yeah, part of our operational, like our operations staff is here, and then part of our office staff shifted to the working from home model too. So we also had to urgently move to Teams and other cloud hosted collaboration and video conferencing solutions too, to deal with the business continuity challenges and from a safety perspective. And then a couple other things that we considered also was, for example, in Teams, there might be a recording functionality. Do we want to allow staff to be able to record any of the discussions that they would have when they wouldn't previously? And then another thing that I'm sure all organizations have considered too would be if something did go to a litigation or a claim, how are we storing the information? Like, do we want to be storing all of the chat logs that we have? Because now there's a faster way to be communicating with each other. What happens with that data? Where is it stored? So those were a lot of the questions that we asked too. But yeah, beyond the working from home model, one of the biggest things that came out of our innovation hub that I just mentioned is the digital twin. So we're investing a lot of money in the digital twin to transform how we are approaching our business. And the digital twin is basically what it sounds like. It's a virtual real-time interactive representation of YVR's terminal, the airfield, sea island, lens. So basically a reality gaming system, if you want to think of it that way. And it's a digital learning ground to help us evolve as things start to evolve continuously in the world too. And so the last 6 months or the beginning of the year, we started collecting the data, building the models, and building a scalable platform so we can provide that to our employees and our stakeholders to be able to access this platform and see our operations in a more holistic perspective. So, for example, we would be able to monitor all the complex systems at the airport that comprise the airport. It might allow us to respond quicklier to alerts that happen because we would be able to see it in the digital replica. There might be opportunities to predict potential issues that arise in the future, whether it's effects of weather, whether it's passenger delays. We can actually move them and see what the model would look like. So that sort of thing. And it's hopefully going to help us reduce operational costs too, as we try to model these passenger flows coming out of COVID. It may also help us deal with like social distancing, testing requirements, and any additional processes that we're required to implement from the government. And so, yeah, it can be quite an immersive experience to see this 3D platform, and our team has been piloting it at this point. And it may even help our travelers and those coming through the airport that have accessibility needs. There's conversation about using this platform to help travelers before they arrive at the airport to actually take a tour of the airport so they know where they're going. So that's pretty interesting. And they're talking about potentially using this platform as a virtual museum for our Indigenous art collection. So there's lots of ways that we might be able to use this technology and kind of moving forward. And I believe it may also be able to track GHG emissions and how we can change the scenarios with how aircrafts work to minimize these emissions. So using lots of sensors and cameras and things like that to be able to help. And we might even allow our business partners to be able to use this as a resort when they're trying to improve their own operations, whether it's our airlines partnering with us and using this 3D model, or perhaps even our retail providers can think of a way to use it. So we have invested in that. We're still focused on a future and the growth of that to try to help us. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention that obviously all of this is being done with privacy by design principles. And we're ensuring that cybersecurity and a strong governance and risk management perspective is in here, and access controls will be a huge thing from a security perspective. So yeah, we are continuing to invest where we can. And even though it's in pilot mode, there's a lot of potential use cases for this.
It sounds like this digital twin step will really help with what Genevieve has constantly said this morning, or you're getting into your afternoon now. Agility, you know, the agility is necessary in these times, and this technology, well, I think sounds like it'll be a blessing and really help with, you know, all of your people to be more agile and quickly address different issues as they arise, post-pandemic as well, just continuing on, you know, for the future.
Absolutely.
Genevieve, coming over to you again, the pandemic has had an impact on all of us, you know, in terms of our general mindsets. And so wondering how Via Rail has had to deal with and address a shift in mindsets of both, say, passengers and also operators, and having to sort of deal with the stresses of this pandemic and how it affects us individually, and how that, you know, actually does translate into your business, which it no doubt done. I'm sure all three of you have tales of how, you know, this pandemic has affected people's mindsets and then how that then affects business.
Yeah, and I think it's a good segue into one of the key initiatives that Via Rail has sort of invested into throughout the pandemic, and we had started before that. We're in the midst of applying for our Excellence Canada certification, which is all about wellness and mental well-being. So throughout the pandemic, we made a conscientious effort to ensure through all the teams and lots of various corporate initiatives that we were putting the mindset, the mind of the people at ease. And how would we do that? Well, by favoring an open dialogue on mental health issues, by favoring an open dialogue on elements at our call centers that would be stressing our passengers. How do we address it? How do we get away that anxiety factor in terms of our processes? When we approach customers, they have to wear a mask. Do we serve or not lunches from Montreal to Toronto? It's 5 hours. How do we do it differently? Lunch boxes. We have to rethink everything. But it was not just about the actual physical distancing. Our teams, I think, were very creative in looking at the mental health issue and the well-being of our people, whether it be people coming into our maintenance centers that had to go and work every day. And we had workers that were basically saying, my wife is a nurse. I never know whether or not she could get it from work. We try to be careful at home. What do you want me to do when I come in the office and in the maintenance center? And it was actually a tribute to, I would say, the values of our people in having this instinctive protective interest towards themselves, but also their colleagues. So how do you nurture that and make it an event in terms of favoring, you know, ability for your staff to be able to speak about issues that could be anxiety factors, stress factors? And this week and in the next coming weeks, we're doing a major initiative of saying thank you for keeping us aboard, you know, to all of our staff across the country that basically helped themselves, helped us be a better corporation, but also were there for our passengers. And some of them were, you know, accessibility is a big, big frontline concern for us as a Crown corporation and as a public, you know, service provider. So how do you make sure that person who cannot see the posters understands a mask needs to be worn? How do you prepare? How do you, you know, welcome that person aboard when you used to offer an assistance service? You had to rethink all of these things. So that was a lot about mental health more than just accommodating our people. I think we made a conscientious effort to really make it as part of the objectives of the corporation in each sector. All my lawyers who manage people in my team need to have wellness, mental wellness as one of their yearly objective. And how do you keep that on track? Because the pandemic, and I don't know for all of you guys and some of our attendees as well, I'm pretty sure it created this phenomenon where you log in at 7 o'clock in the morning in front of your PC and you log out at 7 o'clock at night, which is not necessarily what we call a healthy way of living. So all those things that you would have, the coffee discussions in the corridor or whatever, were no longer there. So it was a lot of adaptations on our people. And I think one of the things that I'm very proud to say is I believe Via Rail did not underestimate that and was trying to make it an open dialogue in terms of our commitment to our people. You know, so.
Absolutely. Salima, do you have any thoughts on this? I mean, I'm just thinking that on a day-to-day basis, your operators have to deal with, the members of our community who are also under stress. And while enforcement is not their responsibility, perhaps, it's got to come up. And how has TransLink sort of had to deal with, you know, the mindset of the public and how that affects your people?
So it's interesting, and I think we've taken a very similar approach to Via Rail. It's one about trying to see the perspective of your customers or your employees, and it's been very much how do we educate people? How do we provide them with the tools that they need? In a lot of instances, we do have enforcement mechanisms. We have transit security. We have the transit police. We have the transit police as well. And the transit police, while their area of jurisdiction is different than other police forces, they are a police force. And so we have a lot of the same tools, but the primary tool that we used during the pandemic was education. It wasn't about enforcement, and that education takes many different forms. It's public campaigns, but it's also arming the frontline staff with the information that they need in order to be able to answer questions. And so you see the SkyTrain attendants answering questions, or bus drivers having the ability to answer questions. And we provide that information across the board. And, you know, there will be difficult situations, and hopefully everyone's able to address those situations with grace and with an ability to understand the other person's perspective. And I think we have tried to do that as much as possible throughout the pandemic.
Maybe what we'll do now is just ask each of our panel members to think about what a key learning moment or key takeaway has been for you and from a, you know, in your role as in-house counsel during the last 18 months as it relates to, you know, the way the pandemic has affected your jobs, or maybe there's been a shift in the way that we've already discussed, that the shift that many of you have found is going from strictly focusing on legal issues to really being involved in the business side of your businesses and in making those business decisions. So maybe I'll ask Sepp first. What is one of the key takeaways or key learning experiences that you've found over the last 18 months?
Oh, I don't know if I can limit it to just one.
No, please don't.
There's been a lot of learnings that have happened. And I really want to touch on what Genevieve and Salima actually mentioned too about the well-being and the anxiety and everything that's been going on. It has impacted all of us. And a passion of mine outside of law is meditation and well-being. And I've actually stretched my legal muscles and provided meditations for my legal team and others. So that's been great. And emotional regulation, super important. I've been using a lot of breathing practices, meditation to help manage the emotions that are coming up and maintain the focus over these challenging times. So that's been very important. I think another thing that has helped our team is having really concrete strategies and purpose and direction, because often you get lost, right? Unless you can reframe this as an opportunity instead of this devastating thing that's going on, you can get lost in all of it. And so for me, the innovation piece is really exciting, if that hasn't come through yet. And that kind of has really driven me. And I love being involved in that, just beyond the legal aspect. And even if sometimes things get challenging in that sense, connecting with our personnel any way we can. Like Genevieve says, you're not having those coffee random bump-ins anymore. So being able to set time to have those phone calls via Teams or any other way, and that human level of, hey, we're all in this together as colleagues, has really helped. I already mentioned the communication piece. That's been really important, getting involved as early as possible with the team, constantly having conversations. So at the early stages, so it doesn't become an urgent issue later on where you can't mobilize resources. I've had to also truly set realistic expectations and plans with what I can do. That perfectionist lawyer in me had to just kind of step aside, and you have to think about what are the short-term fixes and the high priority items that we can deal with now, whether that's reusing content that we previously had or streamlining impact assessments. That's what that's looked at like. And the other piece that has really helped and that is a big key takeaway is find support wherever you can, whether that's leveraging like other departments. I've definitely used a lot of like our HR team, our procurement, our ops, our IT team to help me like implement practical solutions when we don't have enough resources in the legal team to deal with that. And the great part about working at an airport is that the other airports, even though they may be competitors, also collaborate with you and teach you about the things that they've learned. So it's very collaborative. And external counsel, use it if you can. They have been a saving grace. So I'd say those are my takeaways.
Well, thanks for that external counsel plug, Seth. We all appreciate it greatly. So maybe turning it over to Genevieve, how about for you? What are some of the key learning experience or takeaways that you've had throughout the last 18 months?
I think it's what I kept on telling my team, and they may agree or disagree, but I think it's okay not to know everything and not to always have a solution right away. Learn to live with the unexpected and figure out that we're all talented people, we're a great, strong team, whether it's within the legal or cross-functionally. So we'll find a solution as a team together. And I kind of lean towards what Seth was saying in terms of share that network. I made a conscientious effort to be able to reach out to other heads of legal departments and other type of industries or companies on the retail side. Air Canada and I became one of my good friend works there. It was easier maybe, but she became my go-to person as I became her go-to person on some of these questions and public safety and making sure that we offer an experience which is enjoyable for the traveler and passengers that we carry. And it's not to be afraid of what you don't know. I mean, we'll figure it out. And I think the pandemic has allowed us to, as lawyers, and again, I'll kind of lean on Sep, that perfectionism of making sure you're right all the time and everything's done perfectly. There's only so much you can tackle. Our team just grew by, I just added three new lawyers who started 3 months, 3 weeks ago to our team. So in one shot, because the demand is just crazy and we're still looking for paralegals and we can't find anybody. So whoever wants to work for Villarreal, I'm shouting out there. If you have good paralegals, we're looking for some people. So on that, I think it's just being comfortable with the 80-20 rules. 80% of what I can come up with will most likely be okay. And if I miss the 20%, it's not that we're going to favor a mistake, but we can deal with it. Because at the get-go, we're always preoccupied by safety, safe measures, making sure we're compliant with the law. And no, it's not going to be perfect. And we may think we're clear in our process and politics and policies. And at the end of the day, something's going to slip. But how do you handle it? And as much as you can, how do you prevent it? Understanding that you're probably not going to be able to prevent everything. And you need to accept that. If you want to be really, truly agile, you need to accept that. And you need to be able to focus also on post-mortem events. And that's one of the key areas where I believe as a team, we got better at doing. Okay, it didn't work perfectly. We would say we got a 9 out of 10. What can we do it differently the next time around? How can we look at it differently? And I think often enough, when we're in the get-go or in the spinning wheel, we don't give ourselves enough time to do that. So how do you make the time to get those meetings cross-functionally and say, okay, let's debrief on how that went through? Are we happy? Rapid testing. We did a pilot project in Toronto. What's the feedback of our employees? How do we make sure that on an agile perspective, we're able to meet that demand? And no, we didn't plan for everything, but the questions were coming in and we adjusted as we went. And I think it's important to be able to dose how and when it's good to do that, and give yourself the chance to do it, because we're not trained that way. As lawyers, we're not trained that way. We're trained to basically come up with the magic stick and make sure that we're able to solve all the issues just like that,
Yes. I mean, that's, common with what Sep is saying. It sounds like you've had to let go a little bit of that perfectionist, you know, legal mind, and just be, as we've been saying all morning, agile and be able to adapt. And I think this concept of the post-mortem is a really interesting takeaway for us all to remember. You know, we're going to, in a fast-paced environment, COVID or not, we need to take the time to debrief after something happens and learn from what we did right and then what we can do better the next time. And I think also as external counsel, we should be asking our clients those questions too. After we work with you, we should be asking, what did we do well? How did this go? What can we do better? And so I think that's a great takeaway, Genevieve, for all of us.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yes.
The relationship with external counsel will rely a lot on it. But being in-house, I understand the law says this, but how do you make your advice practical for me? And this is where, you know, key partnership with our external counsel, whether it's on labor issues, on, you know, union issues, on, you know, health and safety operational elements, you know, to foster that understanding of your client business so that the advice is, yes, there's the law, but here's how we think you could apply it. Because you know, we had to deal with, and I'm sure Salima, the same thing. I mean, those ministerial orders of two liners are really nice, but you got a lot out of that, you know. So how do you do it in a way where it's reasonable, you feel that you've met the criteria, although the criteria is kind of implicit, because even at the, you know, if I look at the political powers of this world or legislative powers, they were trying to do the best they could with the pandemic as well as governments.
Yeah.
So it's how do you hit that right balance again, you know?
Absolutely. Salima.
I think we have at TransLink a lot of the same learnings as everyone else at YVR and NVN, probably across all sectors. One of the things I wanted to mention is we have pre-pandemic these sort of awesome, robust systems in place when there's an emergency. And that could be a simple emergency, winter weather on the SkyTrain system that could impact our driverless trains and how they function and the fact that we have to put drivers on them. Or it could be that there's a lot of traffic or a big accident impacting a lot of bus routes. And we have all of these robust processes in place for when an operational event occurs and it impacts the system and how we are going to continue to provide excellent service to our customers. But one of the things I think that we've learned across the organization, not just through the pandemic, not just through the cybersecurity event, but also prior to that, is that there's a lot of integration between all of these units. And so during the injunctions, their operations side needed to know how they could continue to operate, but the rules and the parameters were actually very heavily influenced in that instance by legal matters, by whether or not we got injunctions or not, by whether other entities got injunctions. And so there's been a lot more integration of what I would say are purely business functions with the operations side and making sure things work. And again, like being agile, and these guys need to, those teams need to make quick decisions and be able to turn things around. And lawyers like to contemplate things and we want to think about things and we want to do the analysis. And you don't have the luxury of time to do all of that. And it can't be perfect. And so it is that 80-20 rule and making the system work the best way that it can. And so it's that integration of legal as a business partner through so many different things. And that's, I think, been a big learning for everyone. How do you make that work as seamlessly as possible?
Yes. You know, there's been, we're getting to the end of our time this morning, but there's been a lot of consistent themes raised by all three of you this morning, resiliency being one of them. And I really like how SEP was using, you know, the calming meditative techniques to sort of help with that resiliency, because we've all been faced, you know, through the last 18 months with a challenge of really still, I still have to be resilient. How long is this going to go on? And another perseverance is another word we've used a lot today. Probably the most used word was agility, or being agile and adapting. And another really key takeaway that I've, you know, benefited from this morning is this delicate balance that I think has become even more important through the last 18 months in your organizations, of balancing legal needs and legal issues with the importance of the business needs. And that balance, and Salima, you mentioned 80-20, and I'm sure at times that ratio changes too, depending on the issue and depending on the rapidity with which something is changing. Sometimes we have to, you know, accept that the legal issue may take a little bit of a backseat to the business need in the moment. And so just wanted to thank all of you, all three of you, for your time.